Okay. Well, any questions between last week and this week? Some of you went home and said, oh my goodness, what's he talking about? And you went and checked your Bible and you wanted to go see, is this... You know, one thing I recommend, read your Bible and check up on the people preaching to you. Because there are people that say all kinds of crazy things that have no scriptural reference whatsoever, but they become the traditions of men, they become the traditions of churches, and actually they're doing a disservice to you and to your walk with Christ. So you have to keep the preachers honest. I know that's hard to believe. You must keep the pastors honest. The preachers, pastors. Okay. Okay. All right. Last week, when we began, we started talking about Paul. And we discussed how Paul had to go through a major transformation of his own mind and his own thinking when he came into Christ. So remember, Jesus is the vine, we are the branches. If any man remains in him, his words remain in them. So we come into Christ. So Jesus is the vine.
Okay.
And so Paul went from being outside here into Christ, right? And all of a sudden, everything that he ever knew had to be put into the context now of what it is to be in Christ. So, I was reading again Acts chapter 9, and just when it talked about Paul's conversion experience, and you know, we talked about how God knocked him down, and he was like, oh my goodness, Lord, who are you? Okay, actually, here. In verse 4 says, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he said, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Verse 6. Now notice that Paul's first question to God is, what would you have me to do? Because Paul's entire life had been defined by what he does. Under the Jewish system, everything that was about what you did, your righteousness was based on the law and your actions.
Yeah.
And so naturally his first question is, okay, I go by what it is that I know, what does God want me to do now that I know that I'm not right with him? So, but God works with him with that. He says, here, just go to the city, and once you get there, I'll show you. See, the first thing that God really wants his people to do is to be in Christ. Before all of the actions and all of the works and everything else, he wants us to truly be in him and to be in connection and relationship with him. And so Paul had to wait for 3 days in Damascus. He's sitting there, he doesn't eat, he doesn't drink. He's just waiting and dealing with this experience. But I believe during that time too, the Holy Spirit is working on him. He doesn't have to do anything, he just has to be. And you know what's interesting? This part about Ananias from verse 10 through verse 16. This one, it really struck me the other day when I was reading this. Because God says to Ananias, all right, so Ananias is doing his own thing. And God says, I want you to get up and I want you to go and pray for this man, Saul of Tarsus, who is just in town. And he's very specific about where he is, but Ananias is like, oh my goodness, I know about this guy. Now where Saul just came from, he was throwing people in jail and persecuting them, putting them to death, and God is telling now one of his servants, I want you to go to this guy. So it'd be like telling, like God saying, "Oh, there's a white van coming over from Batacolo with a bunch of LTT cadres. I want you to go jump in and go with them to Fort." I'm just saying, it's a crazy idea of what God is asking him to do compared to what it is that he knows. But Ananias knows the voice of Jesus, and he knows when God is instructing him to do something, so he obeys to what could be his death at that point in time. Okay. So now I want to touch on something earlier and bridge the two together from an earlier series that we did here. Okay. All right. There are two kingdoms in this world. All right. Kingdoms. All right. You have the kingdom of God, which is in Christ. And you have the kingdom of this world. Or Lucifer. Okay. Now Paul, before he came into Christ, naturally he was in the kingdom of this world. And in the kingdom of the world, you also have a dead religious system. And it comes in all shapes and forms. Different names. And some of the religious systems actually claim the name of Christianity too, but there's no Christ in there. So Paul has to come from the system of the world into Christ. And when somebody comes into Christ, it's amazing what can happen with the life. One of my favorite examples is God took an 80-year-old sheep herder with a criminal record. God took an 80-year-old man that used to take care of sheep that had a criminal record. And he used that man to turn upside down one of the most powerful nations in the world and to liberate over 1 million slaves. So no questions about, I mean, this is what happens when God gets hold of a life. He can do anything with it. Yeah, I see some questions. It's Moses. Moses. Yeah, Moses was a murderer, and at the time that God got a hold of his life, he was well on in years. Okay. Inside of Christ, what does things look like? Outside of Christ, what do they look like? Okay. All right. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's see if I can find some quick. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 2 and there's 2 Peter, sorry. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. Says that ye are also living stones, are built up into a spiritual household, and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. It says in verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Okay, so, again, we are part of a royal priesthood. All of us are priests in Christ Jesus. So you have Jesus, the high priest, and everyone is a little priest in Christ. You remember last week we talked about the fact that people have different responsibilities in the body of Christ, but those are just different responsibilities. Those are not one is lording over anybody else. So this is scriptural. You remember when the disciples were arguing with each other who was going to be the greatest?
Mm-hmm. ඕනේ නැතරෙත් මේක තිබුණා. ඒගොල්ලෝ එක එකන මේ අවාද කරගත්ත කවුද උතුම්ම කෙනා කියලා.
And Jesus had to completely do away with that argument, and he said, look, you know, you have to become like a child, and the greatest in the kingdom is it will be the least. You'll be the one that's the servant. If you want to be great, you know, you have to be the slave of all. So Jesus sets the example and just saying, you're missing the point. The system, you're not trying to do it like the world does it. You are doing it in me. You're all one in Christ. You're all on the same level in Christ. Now the world, on the other hand, works differently. The world is a hierarchy. Okay. So each person in the world and the world system has to get in and work their way up. And at the very top of it is Lucifer. And so each person is working their way up, and they're submitting to the person that's right above them, and they take power and authority over the people that are below them. And so what happens, even when the disciples are asking this question with Jesus, he's saying to them, look, that's from this system over here. Because in Christ, again, we're a royal priesthood. Let me see, what happens when people come into this one over here, into the world system, is when you've given your allegiance and your heart and your will over there, what happens is they cover for you, they take care of you, they cover up for you when you do something bad. And you're required to play the game over here. So whatever it is, you have to do it. And if you break rank, you get in trouble. If you fall out of place, or you fall out of line, or you slip out of your place in the hierarchy, all of a sudden now, you get in trouble. Let's give a practical example from what's going on in Sri Lanka right now. Okay, a couple of government ministers left the existing government, yes? And they started saying, okay, here's some things that were going on, backroom deals with LTT. So they're starting to get out of the hierarchy here, out of that system. And then what happens? 3 days ago, what happened? Anyone? What happened? Yeah. For what? For doing what? Yeah. So one of them gets tossed in jail because he failed to return a car. So before that, all of the bad things that are going on in the back rooms, it's all covered up. Yes? So it's all being covered over. Millions are being made on arms deals and all of these bad things. But then when somebody breaks rank, even in the slightest way over here, in the world system and in the Luciferic system, what happens? So are you beginning to see it now? Do you see that? Okay, can I bring it into a religious context for you now? Okay, how many of you have ever heard the statement sometimes by churches, you need to come under the covering? Yes? Come under the covering. I don't know if it translates. Covering. They will say, you need to come under the covering of the church. Can I show you something in the Bible that will probably, it'd be very difficult. You have to think about this for a week. Okay. Okay. Because I've had emails sent and all kinds of things, and pastors always, like, brother, you need to come under the covering. You need to come into this thing. You need to join the group. Okay, Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 13. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, and sardis, topaz, and the diamonds, and beryl, and onyx, and the jasper, sapphires, and emerald, and the carnival and gold, and the workmanship of thy tabernets and of pipes were prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy way from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned, therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Let's do 14 through 16. So Lucifer is the anointed cherub that covereth. You have to check it again in the scripture. The end of verse 16. That he is the covering cherub. Alright, let me go back to this one. In the Hebrew, the word that's there, because sometimes what happens is you know, they'll do with transliterations, they will try to pick a word, but sometimes they miss it too. So the original text, the word is actually, I've tried to say this, it's sakak sakak, which means, it means in Hebrew, to entwine as a screen, to fence in, to cover over, figuratively to cover over, so it means protection, to cover, defense, defend, hedge in, join together, set, to shut up. Okay? That's a lot. Okay, so the word in the Hebrew means to cover over. To defend, to join together, to shut up. Okay? No, good. Yeah, that's good. See, that's another thing too. You want, go and do some word study when you go through the scriptures, because maybe there's, yeah. So what happens is, when somebody comes into the world system, they cover up for each other. And sometimes what happens is God exposes the evil that's going on inside the church, he's the one that does it. So sometimes when people see, this pastor fell over here and he got caught in some scandal or something with children, and then they're like, oh, the devil is attacking the church. No, actually God is exposing, the light is being shined on something that's a system that covers up for each other, and usually something will happen with the law or police or something where it'll expose and it'll be open up to everybody. Because again, this is a religious system of the world that may even claim the name of Christ but is not in Jesus. You remember in the scripture where it says, many will come to me on that day and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this and that in your name? And Jesus will say, I never knew you, depart from me that work iniquity. You did all kinds of stuff using my name, but you were never in Christ. So your heart and your allegiance when your free will was in the world, but you used conveniently the name of God. So I don't need any man to cover me. The Holy Spirit has taken care of all of that. In fact, here's what God says about that. Matthew chapter 5 verse 15. It says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
So
for those that are in Christ, you don't put a covering over them. The light of Christ is not lit in your life to be covered over by the dead systems of man. So let your light shine before men. And let them see what God is doing. See, those of us that are in Christ, we are not, we've come out from this system because God pulls us out. He says, come out from among them. Come out from the dead place that you were, and come into the light. Okay, so in the world, what does the world require of you? The world requires for you conformity. Conformity? It requires you to come in and be like everyone else. For in this place. Yeah, in the world system. So you come in and now all of a sudden you have to become, if there is the system and the uniform that everybody wears, you would become like that. You do that. Both of these involve a free will decision by the man or the woman in this place. You know that your free will is the most powerful force in the earth realm. That's your free will. That's why in the Lord's Prayer, we are taught to pray, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. So we are taught to pray to submit our free will to the will of God. We are taught to say, God, I submit my will to yours and I ask for your will to be done. Because what happens is either you make a free will decision to go with Christ or you make a free will decision to be in the world and you go to the world for your provision and for the what it is that they offer you. And this system over here is dead. I've been to places that call themselves churches that I've gone away and I've come back maybe like a year, 2 years later, 3 years later, and it's dead. It hasn't gone anywhere. Nothing has happened there. The same people, ushering the same people in, nothing has changed. Their spiritual growth is not there. They know nothing more about it, who it is that they're in Christ or what it is that God's called them to be or to do in their life. They've just put in maybe 2-3 years, it's completely dead. It's very sad. Because what happens is sometimes people will go into the world system and maybe it's out of ignorance that they stay there, but you know because you're unsettled in your heart the whole time you're there. Okay, in Christ, what does this look like? Okay, one thing is every single person is different in Christ. Did you know that? That in Christ, there is nobody that has anything that we're all individual, we're all individually called and individually made. You know that not a single fingerprint in the world is the same. Everyone has a different fingerprint. So that's why when the police are checking, investigating a place, they will go dust for the fingerprints. Because if they can find the fingerprint, they know there's only one other person in the world that has that same fingerprint. So now in Christ, every single person is different. You have a different heart, you have a different calling, you have different assignments. So, okay, think of it like this. And see, sometimes what happens is you will get frustrated because the assignment and the heart that God has given you, other people don't share the same thing. So God will have given you a burden for taking care of orphans. And the other brother will have the burden for taking care of drug addicts, and you know they both can't understand why they're not doing the other ministry. or evangelism or something. So think of it like in your own body, if your heart. If you don't get blood pumped through your system, you'll die in just a matter of minutes. And if your heart one day said, "Oh my goodness, if we don't get blood through everything, we're going to die very quickly. Quick, everyone, start to pump the blood." Then, what would process the air? Because you also need air to help to give the oxygen to the heart for the heart to be able to pump the blood. So, and the thing is, the heart may not see how important that other aspect is to get the air into the body because it's so focused on its assignment. Now, I'm very glad that my heart and my lungs do different things. It's the same thing in the body of Christ. Each person, the Holy Spirit, will give you a burden and a passion for something. And within that burden and passion that God has given you, it may not make sense to other people. Now, what's similar between all of us here is that we all know the voice of God. And so if when someone else is speaking in connection with the Holy Spirit, it rings true in you because the Spirit of Christ in you bears witness to the Spirit of Christ in the other person. So Christ in you, the hope of glory. So even as we all have different assignments, but we still have the same peace that comes from God. In whatever assignment God has given you, one thing about it is you will have peace in the Holy Spirit when you are moving in that direction and in step with God. Philippians chapter 4. Let's just look at this real quick. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Okay, so now he's writing to the church, he's writing to the Philippian church. You have, whatever it is, submitted to God, and he's taking care of it because you are in Christ. And in fact, the only time that those who are in Christ lose their peace is when you step outside of Christ. So when it is that you come out of the place where you're in connection and relationship with Him, and that's when you lose your peace. So there's no peace outside of Christ. So, for example, God may have called one of you to be a big businessman. But he didn't call the next person. And so if someone else tries to step into an assignment that God has not called them or prepared them or wants them to be in, there's no peace in that. Okay, some things are very standard in Scripture about things that are essential for us in our relationship and our walk with Christ. So some things are basically the Scripture is very clear on. Don't do this, walk in this line. So the Scripture is clear about something like sexual sin. Because something like that, immediately it cuts, severs your ability to hear from God. And so something like that, the Scripture is very plain. In fact, when they're writing to the early church, they said, here, let's not make it too difficult for these guys. Let's just send them four things. In Acts. Okay. We don't have to turn there. But the early church, they said, all right, to you guys, let's see here, if I can remember that. Don't eat the meat of strangled animals. Flee from sexual immorality. There's two more. I have to go check it. Food sacrifice to idols. And there's... So it's just giving some things that just like here's some basics that are going that are standard. You know, keep away from these things because you'll do well to avoid them. So some things are standard. Other ones are between you and the Holy Spirit. So Paul's thing about meat and vegetarianism, and he says, look, to one person it's okay, but to another person their faith is weak in that area, but don't get stuck on this issue. But what happens is people will make a religion around something that God has only told them about their walk and their relationship with Him, and they'll try to put it on other people. And what happens is someone will get very upset, or it'll be very difficult for them to do that because God never told them that or gave them a burden for that. He told it to the first person. So usually when I'm discipling somebody, I try to leave a lot of room for the Holy Spirit to work in that person's life. Because if someone really wants God, if someone is really seeking after God, the Holy Spirit will convict, He will shape, He will work in their life. And above all, they want to walk in relationship and connection with God. So leave the room for the Holy Spirit to do that. You don't have to correct everything because it's only the Holy Spirit's power that can make a change in a person's life anyways. So, I was talking to a brother recently and he was talking to me about some of the problems and the issues that he has in his life. And he was even telling me how it gets more difficult with the old sins that he had in his life when things are all the trials come to him when he's down. Because see, when you're in the world, your flesh gets programmed. When you're in the world, your mind gets taught to think a certain way. But when we come into Christ, again, what happens? Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Romans 12:1, present your bodies as a living sacrifice unto God. So a change happens when we come over here, but it's only the Holy Spirit that will empower you to be able to do that. In fact, the early church in Acts 1, they said, Jesus said, look, don't go anywhere until you receive power from on high, until you receive the Holy Spirit. If you go out and you try to go into all the world and preach the good news to everybody, but you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit working and changing your life, you're not going to go anywhere. You're going to make a big mess. So it's the Holy Spirit's power in you that shapes you to be like Christ. Power to be a witness. The witness, the word is martus, is to be a martyr, to be the power to be a witness in the power to be like Christ is given by the Holy Spirit. And it's not by your ability to do something of your own decision. So you say, okay, I will now do this or not do this because it's a good thing to do. No, submit your will and your heart to Jesus Christ. Submit your will and your heart to the Father and ask for Him to empower you to do what it is that you can't do. And stay there, stay in that place, and then He will do it. He will do the work in you. So be anxious or be careful for nothing. Amber, your Bible probably says anxious, right? Verse 6. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Right? So whatever it is that's going on, don't worry about it. Don't be anxious about it. In this system of being in Christ, you can take it to the Father. And in that place, when you've left it before Him, you'll have peace. Whereas outside in the world, what happens is they have to go up the chain of command. There's no peace over here at all. And for them to get any solution or resolution to even one of the things coming to them, they have to try to go in there. We go to a much higher place. In Christ, we go straight to the King. And what happens is also over here, God will many times speak to somebody else that's connected to Him about the situation going on, and they will come because God tells them, like Ananias about Paul. God speaks to Ananias about Paul's situation. And God will send the assistance in the body to you because He's got other people that are in connection with Him. It works. The system of the King works. Okay. Let's stop there for today. We'll keep going next week.